The title of the address is actually changed from that advertised. It's called Life with More Colour. At school, my favourite subject was history, and I was very lucky because my history teacher told me that history was not about the dates battles happened. History was people's story. The Irish history I learned stopped very abruptly with the failed rising of 1916. So to bring my history lessons forward, I like to watch the old news films, the Pathé newsreels, and Reeling in the Years. The early films are in black and white, which in a strange way mirrors the Irish society at that time. In the early years of the 20th century, life seemed more simpler, more maybe black and white. At that time, they were men and women, and they were either single, married, or widowed. And to quote Oliver J. Flanagan, there was no sex in Ireland until the Late Late Show. Homosexuality was rarely even whispered. With few exceptions, everyone was Irish. And I remember as a child being in Dublin, which would have been an event in itself, but when someone on the top deck of the bus shouted, "Look, everyone, there's an African man walking along the street there." That was a very rare sight. Immigration has reinvigorated Irish society. It has made our culture more vibrant and outward-looking. We are enriched by different and new cultures and traditions. Even when you think of Irish cooking, we've moved away from the bacon and cabbage and the Sunday roast. Until recently, church attendance was universal. God was safe in his heaven. Matters of faith were the province of the parish priest and the minister. The only real diversity in Irish society was Catholic and Protestant. Now, Catholics did not differentiate between different Protestant denominations. It was just Catholic and Protestant, those destined for heaven and those who weren't. Many people never realized that we were all meant to be Christians. We were Catholic or Protestant before we were Christian. Ireland was a rural agriculture country. People were deeply connected with the land and the world of nature. There was Mehel, where people did the work in community. And agriculture was in harmony with wildlife and nature. Poverty was almost universal. Unemployment and emigration was widespread. And beneath the apparent tranquility, there was the valley of the squinting windows mentality. Of course, the seemingly ordered, peaceful existence had its secrets. The inspiration of the 1916 leaders was for a republic that would cherish all her children equally. But that vision never came to pass. 1937 created a theocracy in Ireland. And every theocracy in every religion expects compliance on the part of its members. And unquestioning compliance discourages accountability. In the case of Ireland, it allowed the mother and baby homes to flourish and the Magdalene laundries. It facilitated the mistreatment of children. It imprisoned children whose only crime was that their parents happened to be poor. And it discouraged art, creativity, and free thinking. We censored books and films. We were suspicious of differences. And those who happened to fall outside the narrow confines of what was expected lived lives of quiet desperation, often seeking ease to ease their pain of dislocation with alcohol. As coloured film changes how we see the world, we see now that Ireland has changed. Agriculture is still important, but most people are now employed in industry. We're a country of diversity. Every town in Ireland, there are people of different ethnicity, different faiths, different skin colours. They speak different languages. And if we embrace them, those differences enrich us. They're not to be feared. As I said, the old days were black and white, and that had its good part and its bad part. And while Ireland is now a more vibrant, open, and cosmopolitan society, there are a few important things that we have lost. In the old days, the preachers warned the congregation of the dangers of hell when we died. But do you know, we run the risk of creating hell for ourselves right here and now, before we die. As an urban society, we have become disconnected from the world of nature. Church attendance is now the exception. So many people have become disconnected, not just with the world of nature, but with the world of the soul. It's not about earning heaven or being worthy of heaven. It's about touching our real selves. When we lose touch with nature and the soul, we are disconnected from our core essence. And that's why people are unhappy. Because attending church, no matter how superficial that attendance was, it allowed time for self-reflection and for connection with the community. And we were told to be accountable for our actions. Nowadays, we don't really like to hold ourselves to account for anything about how we behave. For many people, God is irrelevant. But the God they dismiss is the God of childhood, which was a black and white, a childish stick-like image of the divinity. God is not a man sitting on a throne in the sky. God is not an accountant, nor is God an assessor of orthodox belief. God is not the tyrant we heard about in those fire and brimstone services. As other cultures have enriched our everyday lives, I think it could be useful to check out and think about how other faiths, traditions, imagine and portray their version of divinity. We grew up with God the judge and the miserable person. Miserable individual, let's look at how other traditions have learned about God. As I said, that vision of God as a man sitting on a throne in the sky is past. In other traditions, God is far less distant. Islam says God is closer to us than our jugular vein. And that image of the closeness of God, I think, mirrors the Hindu tradition. When Hindus meet one another, they use the word namaste to greet each other. And namaste says, I greet the God in you. And that's a wonderful way to address people, to see every individual as part of God. Religion is never about whether or not we believe certain articles of faith. Religion is about experiencing the God or the good within ourselves. And no priest, no member of the hierarchy can do that for us. A teacher may suggest a path, but we have to follow the path and find one that suits us. No amount of telling anyone works. The Sufi poet Rumi wrote beautiful about his search for God. He said, "I looked for God. I went to a temple and I didn't find God there. I went to a church and I didn't find God there. I went to a mosque and I didn't find God there. Then I looked into my heart and there God was." For me, those images of the divine are more helpful than anyone sitting on a throne, no matter how exalted. The Sufi poet Hafiz, who lived nearly enough time of Rumi, also had lovely ideas about God. He wrote, "I have learned so much from God that I can no longer call myself a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, or a Jew. It's not confined to one religion." There's a Unitarian sticker says, and I think this is really touching the truth, "God is too great to be confined within the bounds of man-made creeds." It's not Jew, Christian, Buddhist, Islam. It is the person finding their version of God or the good. For those who grew up in the Christian tradition, we were taught a great deal about how sinful we all were. It was because of our sins that Jesus had to die the painful death on the cross. Guilt was high on our agenda. And again, Hafiz has a very different idea of the nature of human beings. Hafiz wrote, "I wish I could show you, when you were lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being." I'm going to say that again because I just think it is so beautiful. "I wish I could show you, when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being." Do we ever think of ourselves with such love? According to Hafiz, not only are humans good, God is not a vengeful tyrant waiting for any excuse to consign us to hell. He wrote in another poem, "Every child has known God, not the God of names, not the God of don'ts, or the God who never does anything weird, but the God who knows only four words and keeps repeating them, saying, 'Come dance with me. Come dance.'" Later, he wrote in this poem, it's called "Tripping Over Joy." What is the difference between your experience of existence and that of a saint? The saint knows the spiritual path is a sublime chess game with God, and that the beloved had just made such a fantastic move that the saint is now continually tripping over joy. Tripping over joy. And bursting out in laughter and saying to God, "I surrender. Whereas, my dear, I'm afraid you still think you have 1,000 serious moves." So let's replace the God of judgment and retribution. How about a God that dances and wants us to dance? And a religion that is bursting with laughter and tripping with joy. That sounds pretty good to me. Let us welcome color into our world. Embrace diversities. We Unitarians have a mantra that finishes, the mantra is, we are free in our spiritual path. We use reason, and we are tolerant of people who are different. We have to go beyond tolerance. We have to go way beyond tolerance and embrace and celebrate diversity and colour in our life. As we enjoy different cultural experiences, let us look to other faiths and their treasures so that we can open our minds to real riches.